Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Wednesday, October 9th. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a pressing health issue. Let's dive right in. Today we're discussing a chronic inflammatory condition called endometriosis. A recent case highlights the challenges in diagnosing and treating this condition. Let's start with the basics. Eric, what exactly is endometriosis?
Well, Ted, endometriosis is a tricky little devil. It's when tissue similar to the lining of the uterus decides to go rogue and grow outside where it's supposed to. We're talking about a condition that affects roughly 1.5 million women in the UK. That's like filling Wembley Stadium 16 times over. And boy, can it cause a world of hurt.
That's an oversimplification, Eric. It's not just about tissue growth. It's a complex, systemic disease that can impact.
Now, hold on a second, Kate. I was just giving a broad overview. Of course, there's more to it, but
But that's exactly the problem. Starting with basics downplays the severity. This condition can utterly destroy lives, causing debilitating pain and potentially leading to infertility. We need to address the full scope from the get-go.
I appreciate your passion, Kate, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. While I agree it's complex, we shouldn't exaggerate. Many women manage their symptoms effectively with proper treatment. The key is early diagnosis and intervention. It's about finding that balance, you know?
Early diagnosis? That's rich. The average time to diagnosis is 8 years. 8 years of suffering because doctors dismiss women's pain.
Let's focus on the case at hand. Can you tell us about Chloe Bremner's experience?
Sure, Ted. Chloe's story is unfortunately all too common. She started experiencing symptoms at the tender age of 14, but wasn't diagnosed until 2023. That's a 9-year delay, which sadly isn't out of the ordinary with this condition. It's like waiting for your favorite band's reunion tour, except instead of excitement, you're dealing with pain and frustration.
Common? It's outrageous. Chloe described her pain as someone desperately trying to claw their way out of her body. She was on daily morphine that didn't even touch the pain.
I understand it's a severe case, Kate, but we need to remember that symptoms can vary widely between individuals. Not everyone experiences such
extreme. Are you seriously downplaying her suffering? She had severe daily pelvic pain, heavy periods, nerve pain, fatigue, migraines, and more. It impacted every aspect of her life. This isn't a game of pain Olympics, Eric. We need to acknowledge the severity.
What about the misdiagnosis issue? How did that play out in Chloe's case?
Well, Ted, there were some unfortunate misdiagnoses along the way. Doctors initially thought she had irritable bowel syndrome or a stomach bug. It's a bit like a medical wild goose chase. Endometriosis is a complex condition that can mimic other disorders, making it a real challenge to pin down.
Unfortunate? It's negligence. They told her she had a sick bug when she was vomiting and in agony every 4 weeks.
Now, hang on a second. While mistakes were made, it's important to remember that medicine is complex. Doctors are doing their best.
Their best isn't good enough. Chloe was told endometriosis doesn't cause bloating, which is completely false. This level of misinformation is inexcusable. We're talking about basic symptoms here, not some obscure medical.
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of any similar situations where a medical condition was consistently misunderstood or misdiagnosed?
Certainly, Ted. A prime example would be the history of understanding and treating tuberculosis. For centuries, TB was misunderstood and often misdiagnosed as various other conditions. It's like the medical equivalent of a game of telephone. The message got garbled over time.
That's not even remotely comparable. TB affects all genders equally. Endometriosis is systematically ignored because it primarily affects women.
If I may elaborate, TB was once called consumption and was thought to be caused by vampires in some cultures. It took until the late 19th century for it to be identified as an
The difference is that TB was a mystery to everyone. With endometriosis, we have the knowledge, but doctors choose to ignore women's pain and symptoms. It's not about lack of information, it's about lack of listening.
Interesting comparison. How do you think the historical context of women's health issues plays into this?
Historically, there have been gaps in understanding women's health issues. It's like trying to solve a puzzle with missing pieces. However, we've made significant progress. The fact that we're having this discussion shows increased awareness. It's not perfect, but we're moving in the right direction.
Progress. It's 2024, and women are still being told their excruciating pain is just a bad period. This isn't progress. It's continued systemic sexism in
healthcare. An overgeneralization, Kate. Many healthcare providers are working hard to improve diagnosis and treatment of endometriosis. We can't paint everyone
not
with
hard
the same...
enough. Chloe had to raise money through GoFundMe to get proper treatment. The system is failing women spectacularly. When patients have to become their own advocates and fundraisers, something is seriously wrong.
Speaking of treatment, what options are currently available for endometriosis?
Great question, Ted. Treatment options include pain management, hormone therapy, and in some cases, surgery to remove endometrial tissue. It's like having a toolbox with different tools for different jobs. Doctors work with patients to find the best approach for their individual situation.
And none of those are guaranteed to work. Chloe tried hormone therapy and it failed. She had to travel to Abu Dhabi for specialized surgery because UK options were inadequate or too expensive. It's a medical wild.
Looking to the future, how do you see the landscape of endometriosis diagnosis and treatment evolving? Eric, what's your perspective?
I'm cautiously optimistic, Ted. I believe we'll see significant improvements in non-invasive diagnostic techniques. Research into biomarkers for endometriosis looks promising and could lead to earlier, more accurate diagnoses. It's like developing a more sensitive metal detector. We'll be able to find the problem sooner and with more precision.
That's not enough. We need a complete overhaul of how the medical system treats women's pain. Earlier diagnosis is useless if doctors still dismiss symptoms.
I have to disagree, Kate. Earlier diagnosis combined with increased awareness among medical professionals will lead to better outcomes. We're likely to see more specialized endometriosis centers and improved surgical techniques. It's about building on
the progress.
And who
will have access to these specialized centers? Only the wealthy? What about women like Chloe who had to crowdfund their treatment? We need solutions that work for everyone, not just the privileged few.
Interesting points. What about potential breakthroughs in treatment? Any promising developments on the horizon?
Absolutely, Ted. There's exciting research into targeted therapies that could help manage endometriosis without the side effects of current hormone treatments. We might see personalized treatment plans based on genetic factors. It's like moving from a one-size-fits-all approach to a tailor-made solution for each patient.
Meanwhile, millions of women will continue to suffer. We need immediate action, not vague promises of future treatments. Women are in pain right now.
It's not vague at all, Kate. Clinical trials are underway for several promising treatments. We could see new options available within the next 5 to 10 years. That's a realistic timeline for developing
safe. 5, 10 years? That's an eternity for someone living with daily excruciating pain. We need better education for doctors and mandatory training on recognizing and treating endometriosis now. Women can't put their lives on hold waiting for new treatments.
Well, folks, it's clear that endometriosis remains a complex and contentious issue. We've heard passionate arguments for both immediate action and long-term research. As we wrap up, let's remember that behind every statistic is a real person dealing with real pain. Thanks to Eric and Kate for this lively discussion, and to our listeners for tuning in. This is Ted, signing off from Listen 2.